How have you not seen this?
If you've not seen this, as always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Today, I am joined by my special guest, Chad Weaver.
Hi.
And we just watched Shoot 'Em Up. Pretty much the best way I can think to describe this movie is if our 12-year-old brains wrote a movie that was also literally just kind of a video game. Pretty decent reviews. But it didn't do terribly well. It actually lost money when it came out in 2007. I remember seeing this, having to drive three towns over when I was in college at Bowling Green because only the big multiplexes had this film, and our crummy little theaters and like the indie theaters didn't get it. And it was well worth the trip. But it's a lot of fun, very violent, very funny, very dark. Just a good time all around. So, Chad, how have you not seen this?
I honestly don't know. I remember in, like, 2008 or so, my parents got the movie.
Uh-huh.
I just remember hearing, like, gratuitous violence outside, but I could not. I'm sure at that point, because I feel like I think I was 13.
Yeah.
So I don't think they wanted me to watch it. I do remember, though, when I started, like, it's weird, but, like, when I started looking up, like, porn... looked up, like, movie things, and the scene where he's banging the prostitute and shooting people came up.
Of course.
Which is great.
All right, well, that makes sense. So now that you've seen it, what'd you think?
I love it, because it's like if Bugs Bunny just was given a gun.
Yeah, I like that, too. It's funny you mentioned that, and I completely forgot about this. You, like, the very first time we see Clive Owen eating a carrot, they're like, what is this, Bugs Bunny? And they're like, oh, if Bugs Bunny was, like, a real person, this is what happens when a gun blows up in Elmer Fudd's face. Like, all these terrible things you see happening. Like, it really is. Like, it's just a Looney Tunes with people.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. And then, of course, the second Clive Owen has that What's Up, Doc line. All you can do is think of Paul Giamatti as the Elmer Fudd type, and or even like a Daffy Duck. And it completely makes sense, too, because Paul Giamatti's character plays into that, because like he's, at least as far as like the Daffy Duck, he presents himself as like the superior person. Like he's got like this intellectual superiority complex, which is very much a lot of Daffy Duck's hang-ups. And then, of course, like just slight shades of Elmer Fudd there. In terms of his persistence and reluctance to back down from his target. So, yeah, it's
an
interesting
gun.
Girls. Oh, and the gigantic, the obnoxiously oversized gun, of course.
I feel like it gets bigger throughout the movie.
Yeah. It looks like the gun just, every season, they just swap it out for a couple calibers up for, I don't know, is that how gun sizes work? Whatever.
Okay, guns.
We don't know how guns work.
It's, there's so many parts about it that are just so... And I love the beginning, because just out of... Because there's no plot set up for anything.
No.
Just, lady runs in with a full-on pregnancy, and then a car slides in.
Yep.
And then just shooting after that.
Yeah.
It was like a minute and a half until...
The first person gets a carrot shoved through their brain. And then the first gunshot is fired.
Yeah.
Well, I like it, too, because even in terms of the plot, this plays like a video game. Because, like, I go back and I look at all the video games that, like, have been a lot of fun in the past, like your Grand Theft Autos or, like, the Hitman games. And those are super fun games. They're also not terribly complex. Like, they're very much, like, B kind of plots or, like, very thin plots at best. And you look at a game like the Grand Theft Auto, the Hitman, like, they're not even super original, like, they're tropes. Like,
yeah.
They're tropes that are just packed in and kind of spun a little bit to try and give you something resembling a plot. But, like, part of it is very much is, like, pulling you into something familiar. And that's absolutely what this is. Like, they explain the plot away. They don't do it until, like, the last 20 minutes of the movie, but by then they're like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, do we really care why Paul Giamatti is shooting at a merry-go-round with a spitting baby on it? Or why Clive Owen is sliding down, like, a roller bar system while Motorhead plays? It's like, no, this is kind of cool. This looks fun. This is like an American John Woo movie. To a point.
It like sucks you in with the gun violence and you want to know why, but by the time they tell you, you don't care.
It's like, oh yeah, no, we're over. Like we stopped caring by like the fourth gunfight like 30 minutes in. We're not on board. We just want to see how many more cool set piece kills you can squeeze in for us.
how many more times you can make a load pun.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the jokes.
So amazing.
What is it? You shot your load after shot the guy load. Uses all his bullets.
Blew your load. That's definitely, yeah. Blew your load is at one point. I don't know what else there is. I know they at least said load three times.
Yeah.
I can't think of the other ones.
Yeah. they're all in there. I'm somewhere. One of the great puns. When for no reason, Clive Owen shoots out all of the neon letters of, what is it,
Fluck America or something.
It's like Falk
Hotel
Tool, something or other.
Yeah.
But it shoots out all the letters so that it just says, fuck you. And then Paul Giamatti shoots out a letter that just says, fuck you too.
That should have been like the title sequence there. Like
this is what you're getting into. But up too is like it, the trailers. Like when me and my friends went and saw this, we were just in no way were we disappointed. Like the title tells you exactly what you're gonna get, and I think it's so much fun. There was a point like in the 2000s where you got like a couple of films like this where you got this. You got the Crank movies.
Mm-hmm.
You got a movie like Gamer with Gerard Butler, which I actually like a lot. I do think it has a little bit to say. But it also, like, it very much falls into that the style of movie where it's just like, what if we just made good or, like, fun action movies? Like
without anything.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh, well, this wasn't Doubt with Philip Seymour Hoffman or whatever. It was like, look, I appreciate, and I've had this rant so many times, of course. Like, I can appreciate those movies. I can appreciate your P.T. Anderson movies and your Coen brothers and stuff. But sometimes, you know, I just want to see Schwarzenegger throw a pipe through somebody and make a pun about it.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes that's all I want in my movie.
You don't need the pretentious backstory.
Exactly. It's like, I don't... Like, and that's what I love, too. It's like, the plot, like, they're clearly, like, there was a stance here. Especially because Clive Owen's character, the movie at points reads like a Dennis Leary bit, like just in terms of him ranting against all of the things he hates, like, with gunfights thrown in. So yeah, like it's very loose again in terms of like that plot or the character. Like somebody clearly was using this movie as a sounding board to say they hate 40-year-old white guys with ponytails, to the point where there's like, oh man, this is wishful. Yeah, Clive Owen, and then he shoots off the guy's ponytail.
It's crazy, man. There's like a lot of blood.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I hate people that don't signal to change lanes. And he kills one of those guys. But yeah, it very clearly comes across as like a wishful film. Another movie like Falling Down with Michael Douglas. Have you seen that one?
No.
Really great movie. It's one that I need to do on here sometime. Where Michael Douglas plays this character who basically is just fed up with life in 90s LA. So he gets out of his car and starts walking, and then he gets a gun, like, and he just starts railing against like everything that he hates, like the increasing prices of like convenience stores, like mom and pop stores trying to gouge people, fast food places like misleading you with the way things look on the menu, like rich people, class war. Like, just all this stuff. And it's, like, it's just him a day of him, like, trying to get to his son's birthday party. And, like, you seeing, like, just how modern society can drive a person to just snap. And it's really good. And this movie, has undertones of that too. So I think of falling down a lot when I watch this movie.
Like the most recent thing I can think of is Machete, sort of.
Yeah. I can see that to a point.
I don't know if Machete makes more of a point or this makes more of a point.
Because
you can definitely, there's definitely the thing with the senator in Shoot 'Em Up too.
Yeah.
Of course there's.
Where it's like the anti-immigration stuff.
Yeah,
so I think definitely like the movie just says like, oh, here's kind of a point. But like they don't harp too hard on those at all. Not one bit. It's funny that you mentioned Machete, because right before Machete came out, all of the stuff with Arizona and their immigration reform or anti-immigration laws, all that stuff was going just huge with them. And they actually, Robert Rodriguez shot like a really quick like DIY promo for Machete before its release, where it was just Danny Trejo saying, "Hey, this is Machete, with a message for the politicians of Arizona," and just like talking about the immigration reform. So like it became serious, more serious about it, but kind of like after the fact too.
Yeah.
Even though like the movie's already done revolving around that, and of course, I mean, like I feel like just the gun control debate hasn't stopped raging in America since like the 90s.
Yeah,
like. So
it can't just like tap into that whenever.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, oh, let's see, what was today? I don't know, a weekday in America. Was there another school shooting or something? Probably. So it's never not relevant.
Yeah.
To discuss that.
It's never not like a couple months away from a terrible tragedy of a gun.
Yeah, it's sort of like, oh man, if only 5 years, like 5 years, like 30 days since an accident.
Yeah.
It's like, no, literally not even a calendar week.
I love that in the too, when the like gun factory and he shoots the zero.
Like X days without an accident, and then 0 days without an accident again. And it's so funny too, because because Clive Owen's character clearly takes a stance. He says like, yeah, it's really important that Americans be able to go deer hunting with a fucking Uzi.
Yeah.
But then like, but also like, it's mixed because the entire movie is him shooting people.
it's
like, don't know.
It's like so pro, like anti-gun legislation.
Yeah.
So like con anti-gun legislation.
Yeah, it's like, we're not really gonna jump one way or the other. But I think ultimately, more at the end of the day, the idea is fuck the corporate power structure of America. And I can get on board with that.
I think
that.
Everyone can.
That's a message. What? Kill cops and politicians? Yeah, absolutely. Where do I sign up, man?
100%.
I can roll with that. The soundtrack.
Amazing.
The first song you hear is Breed by Nirvana, who, of course, like, never imagined that they were going to be the soundtrack to locker room jarheads getting ready for a football game. Or for huge scenes of gun violence, despite being a perfect accompaniment for it for action scenes. I rediscovered that song because of this movie. Because like it started playing like in that drum fill rolls, and I was like, oh man, this is good. But holy shit, is this Nirvana? I need to pull out Nevermind and listen to it again. So yeah, you get that was a Joker and the Thief by Wolfmother.
I love he sees the baby and then just the riff kicks in. Like, guess you gotta take the baby.
Yeah, and of course Ace of Spades by Motorhead during the factory shootout.
So great,
phenomenal scene.
It was, I don't know what AC/DC song
it
was.
If You Want Blood, You've Got It.
Yes.
Which starts literally the second he shoots the senator in the head. And then, like, a riff comes in. Like, you could have never heard AC/DC, and the second that riff starts playing, you're like, this is AC/DC. Like,
this is what it's meant for.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's two things that AC/DC music is perfect for. Iron Man and action movies.
Yeah.
And Last Action Hero, the first major action sequence in that first big car chase. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger standing up from an explosion, looking at the camera, and then this AC/DC riff for the song Big Guns kicks in. Car full of bad guys with guns firing come out and you're like, alright, action's about to happen. You're going to get a car chase? Schwarzenegger gonna flip a car over? What's gonna happen here?
If you've got AC/DC, it's about to get gratuitous.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. It's specifically if you've got Brian Johnson AC/DC.
Yes.
Because Bon Scott, there was at least like, I mean, there's always a sexual undercurrent with AC/DC.
Of course.
But I feel like Bon Scott was slightly less ham-fisted about it. And Bon Scott is also the same person in AC/DC from the version of AC/DC that gave us the song Big Balls. Like, we didn't know exactly what he was referencing about.
Yeah.
Like he thought he was being clever about the innuendo.
Artsy sexual innuendo.
Yeah, yeah.
Bon Scott.
It's AC/DC. The song is either about fucking or killing or both. Whole Lot of Rosie. Not the Rosie is a big girl. That's what the Rosie is. The Jack. Oh, she's got the Jack. Oh, you dealt it and she dealt it right back. We get it. You're talking about the clap, Bon Scott. We know. We're totally on board. We understand what AC/DC is about.
This isn't a statement.
Yeah. So it's AC/DC, it almost would have been fitting to have just had the entire soundtrack for this movie be AC/DC. Because, like, very much, they're both very much in that same way. They're clever. They think they're being clever, but
it's not.
Like, no one else does.
Yeah.
And I say that as a person who loves this movie. Like, I don't think anybody put this movie together and was like, yeah, man, we're going to change the world. We're saying a lot of stuff. It was like, no, we know what this is, and you know what? This was fun.
Yeah.
It was good, stupid fun.
It's not trying to make a point. It's just an awesome, like, fun. That's the point of it, is, like, you want to, in the beginning, you're so confused about it, but the time they tell you, you don't give a shit.
Yeah, like, you just don't care. It's like, nah, this movie is literally, I don't think more than 4 minutes has passed between an action sequence in this entire movie. Like, I'm on board. Like, I'm sold.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really cool. Just to get a movie that is so relentless, and at least in terms of American movies, like, those are becoming a dying breed, kind of. It's like those nonstop action movies.
Yeah,
even something like Michael Bay, like, with the Transformers movies, like, those are super long, but, like,
how much of it is action?
Most of it is, like, people standing in the sunset looking distraught about a robot marshmallow cube or something,
yeah.
Whatever, I don't know.
He can't transform back into his true self.
Oh, no, oh, dang.
Sad.
Mark Wahlberg, look into the sun. Like, no, show me robot dinosaurs destroying everything.
Yeah, that's the best part of it.
Yeah. Well, that's why, what is it? Oh, Transformers Dark of the Moon. Like, I don't think that necessarily any of the Transformers movies are good, but I've enjoyed them begrudgingly over the years. Mainly because they retained the guy that was Optimus Prime from the cartoon to continue doing the voice. And I've never been a huge Transformers guy, but the guy who does Optimus Prime's voice, like, makes me want to give a shit about Transformers. Like, he's so good at it. So, like, that was the smartest thing they did for those movies. And, like, the last 40 minutes of Dark of the Moon is just, like, a nonstop, like, battle. Like, it's almost indistinguishable from the final battle in The Avengers. Where it's very much that thing where it's, like,
just
you know that shit is happening, destruction, yeah. But The Avengers has a lot of other stuff you're interested in up to that point. Whereas Transformers, like,
it's,
up until that point, that's the only thing that you're really on board for.
You're looking for the fight.
Exactly. It's like, I want to see Optimus Prime pull out his robot sword and decapitate some fucking Decepticon.
Yeah.
Or I want to see Optimus Prime pull out his robot shotgun and just execute fucking Megatron point blank in the face and then walk away like it's the end of the goddamn Terminator or something.
Yeah, just... That's like, did you see the new Godzilla?
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it, but the whole thing about it is you want to see just the big fight between the two Mothras and Godzilla.
Exactly, yeah.
And the entire time it's just like, oh, here's Bryan Cranston's son and his marine family. Oh, are they going to get reunited or what?
Yeah, it's like, you made a mistake by not making that movie about Bryan Cranston, for one. Like, and that's the problem, too, is, like, every time they tried to, like, I liked Godzilla, but every time they tried to, like, remake it, they completely missed the fucking point.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the original was a commentary about the dangers of, like, nuclear testing and all of that. And, like, and in this most recent remake, and in the 99 or 2000 remake, I think it was, with, like, Matthew Broderick, which is just painful to sit through.
So terrible.
Like, the focus, like, it's not on these characters, like, dealing with the ramifications of anything. It's like, hey, is Matthew Broderick gonna hook up with his ex-girlfriend, the reporter, or whatever? It's like, nobody gives a shit about that.
It's like a
is
weird
Is Aaron Taylor Johnson gonna find his wife? Like, nobody gives a shit about that. Like,
they're like weird rom-coms mixed in with
yeah,
a huge
exactly.
monster.
But, and you can absolutely do it. Like, Shaun of the Dead is a perfect example of how you can set a story about people in the middle of some disaster.
Yeah.
In that case, like, zombies. Or even, like, World's End, also from Edgar Wright, like, where it's Simon Pegg being stuck in this state of arrested development and, like, refusing to grow up in the middle of, like, an alien occupation,
yeah.
Essentially. So, like, movies can absolutely do that well, but, like, a lot of them just don't.
Yeah, it's so weird the way they're going about things now. It's just, it seems
yeah.
like they want to focus so much on human issues, but they don't know how to do it, so then they'll throw in some other
yeah.
plot point and not focus on it. No.
Exactly. And there have been plenty of movies this year that have come out. Like, case in point, like Captain America Winter Soldier is one of my favorite movies this year. Great movie. And it doesn't try to be like any of the other Marvel movies where it's these huge spectacles. Like, I mean, obviously, like, you're going to get that big, explosive, like, final battle. But the majority of the movie, like, it's a political thriller. And it's, like, it's thrown that in as, like, hey, here's something in the vein of, like, 3 Days of the Condor or All the President's Men or whatever, but Captain America is in it instead of Woodward and Bernstein or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it can absolutely still be done, and it is nice to see when movies do that. But Shoot 'Em Up
yeah.
just says, hey,
it's the total
we're not that. We're not 3 Days of the Condor or All the President's Men.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, we're not Doubt or Munich or anything like that.
There's nothing behind us.
Exactly. It's just like, look, the plot is literally here because they won't give us money if we don't tell them there's a story.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna say, so your movie is just Clive Owen doing a bunch of really dope fucking set piece action movie shootouts. Yeah, we're not gonna get on board with that. Oh no, it's actually kind of a cloak and dagger political story about the Second Amendment and blah 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 and lobbyist groups and corporate controlled interest of the political system.
No, it's just
oh okay, yeah, we'll give you some money. All right, here we go. Here's our 2 pages devoted to that thing that we lied to get the budget on. All right, the rest of it,
murder.
Guns and squibs and set pieces.
It's like, sometimes you can just have a guy touch a dead girl's boob without any making a statement about feminism.
Yeah,
something.
Oh my god, what is... That was such a weird scene, dude.
Yes.
Just Paul Giamatti... Just the glazed over look in his eyes, too.
Like,
oh, boy.
So it's me and you in this car while those two guys outside are digging a hole.
Yep. I was actually... I thought of this because me and a few friends were talking about it last week. So I'm glad you happen to be in town. But we were just talking about how it's unfortunate that, like, Clive Owen and Paul Giamatti don't take more roles like this.
Yeah.
Because, like, Paul Giamatti at this point, like, this was a huge departure for him. Because, like, by this point, like, I think Sideways had come out and Paul Giamatti had kind of fallen into that camp. Was like, oh, hey, is there some indie movie about a schlubby white guy dealing with white people problems or whatever? Paul Giamatti's your dude.
Yeah.
And Clive Owen was, like, very much a serious, like, dramatic actor at this point as well. And, like, this and, like, Sin City are probably his biggest, like...
departure.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice seeing them play a role like this.
Where it's just saying stupid lines.
Yeah, yeah. Where it's, like, they clearly, like, there's no way they made this and didn't have fun.
Yeah, it's such a...
Like, I can't imagine they didn't have a great time making this movie. Like, how many times are you going to get to say these stupid, dumb lines? So, yeah, like, it clearly looked like they were having a blast, and I love movies like this.
It's like the opposite of, like, Jason Statham taking, like, a serious role. It's something totally different.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's so much better for that because you know these actors can do, like, a great job, but they're...
Yeah.
They're still doing, like, a great job. It's just in such of, like, the
exactly.
context of nothing.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Clive Owen can go be in Children of Men or
yeah.
Closer or whatever. You know? Show me Clive Owen cracking wise.
Eating a carrot throughout.
Yeah, like, show me Clive Owen doing his level best to be in a Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah.
Or, like, a Bruce Willis action or Stallone or whatever.
Yeah, it's... that's one of the best parts about it, is just it doesn't care.
Yeah. It's like, hey, only God and Stallone can judge me, guys. Deal with it. Cool. I think we will go ahead and wrap it up then with our favorite moments. So, Chad?
I gotta say, I think my favorite moment was just because throughout they're building up him just eating the carrots.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What's the backstory? Is he a carrot farmer? And then they go into that abandoned warehouse,
yeah.
And it's just like a weird carrot factory.
That payoff for you.
It really saved me.
Nice. I think the carrot thing is there because the whole idea is carrots improve your eyesight. Maybe that's why he's such a good shot.
That, now I gotta rewatch it.
Rewatch it and watch for those subtle tells.
Yeah.
It's like rewatching a Coen Brothers movie or the Saw movies again. It's like, oh no, when did Jigsaw tip his hand?
Where's the real...
Yeah, who really wants to play a game? I think...
Your favorite.
Oh man, for me... Yeah, all of the gunfights are so much fun. Like,
it's so
hard,
yeah.
And none of them are alike at all. Like, they're all very different, which I really like. I love good action sequences. So, like, I really respect a movie that has so many of them.
And they're so different.
Yeah, because, like, in a lesser movie, like, they would be very repetitive and they'd look the same. So, like, that's why I love a movie like the Transporter movies, where it's, like, all these fight scenes, but, like, they're very carefully choreographed and, like, they're done differently. It's like, oh, in this scene, Jason Statham beats the shit out of a dude with a fire hose. This one, he uses an oil slick and a ladder. Like,
yeah, it's...
So they change him up. I think, for me, the factory shootout...
that's great.
During with Ace of Spades playing is really good.
Yeah.
It's either that or Clive Owen literally putting bullets between his finger and sticking his hand in a fire
yeah.
to shoot Paul Giamatti with the bullets.
It's so amazing.
Like, it's so ridiculous. It's one of those two, I think, for me. Those are just really fun sequences.
I would say definitely the carrot part for me too, and I thought back on it. I would say the part where just AC/DC kicks in and he just skydives right.
Then
out of the
jumps
plane.
Out of the plane. Yes. Oh god, how can you forget about? And then kicks the dude into the helicopter.
Yes. and then just he lands and he's walking and there's just 10 bodies
everywhere. Yep. Oh man. All right. Well, I think we're gonna wrap it up there. Chad, thanks so much for coming on doing the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Meadows.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to How Have You Not Seen This. If you enjoyed the podcast, like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also leave us a rating or a review. If you're interested in donating to the podcast, you can do so through the PayPal link at the Podomatic website, howhaveyounotseenthis.podomatic.com. You can also send any questions, comments for the show to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.